Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We are back at it, and it's a monumental week here in Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook is staying with the Thunder. It was kind of a dreamlike scene downtown at the Chesapeake Energy Arena. We're going to have Anthony Slater on, a former Oklahoma State alum himself. Kyle Porter joining me as always. Kyle, what's up, man?
Not much. You had a big Thursday, an unexpected big Thursday. When did you first find out about the Westbrook news?
Just like everybody else, I think, once the tweets came out the night before from Ramona Shelbourne saying they had agreed to a deal, and then Adrian Wojnarowski confirmed it too. So it was hard to go to bed on Wednesday night. I was firing off tweets left and right, and it was really surreal. I mean, when Kevin Durant decided to leave, this was kind of a dream. Like, no one really kind of – I think everyone was kind of down on the prospects of Russell returning. And not only did he return, he signed an extension to prove that he's going to stay for long term. And it was a party downtown. It was a pep rally. So it was one of the more surreal things I've covered in my years.
Yeah. Speaking of your tweets, you've been on fire on Twitter lately recently, but the family and I came to Houston this week, visit my parents. And one of the first things my dad said to me was, hey, did you see that thing Carson tweeted the other day? And I was like, oh boy, I don't, maybe. And he was talking about the Larry Reese announcing, instead of here comes bullet, here comes mullet.
Yes.
And he's mentioned it 3 or 4 times. And I thought it was, it was obviously funny, but he thinks it's one of the funnier things he's ever heard. So,
That's awesome.
You're nailing the 60-year-old grandfather demographic.
That's my goal. Yeah. I'm on local news, Kyle, so that's my demographic. That's who watches the news every night. But we need to put that on a shirt, man. Those would sell like hotcakes. Here comes mullet with like bullet running out with a mullet. Like, how good would that be?
I saw somebody pointed out on Twitter, I think maybe to you, that Bullet actually does have a mullet. Because
he's got
the mane in the back and everything. But
when that came to me, Kyle, I was so mad that I hadn't thought of it earlier. It's like, how have I not thought of this? Here comes mullet.
It was
because I would have used that at media days. I would have been using that in all my shows.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of upset I hadn't thought about it earlier, but that was it came to me, and it just kind of like a light bulb went off.
Yeah,
so,
well,
I'm glad your dad enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really funny. The Westbrook thing was a cool scene. Good for him. Good for Oklahoma City. It was, I think, something that Oklahoma City fans needed after the Durant stuff. And I don't get into the whole like, well, this is who Westbrook is, and that's who Durant. Like, you can't like define the person by like their professional decisions. But I just thought it was a cool moment, and I thought it was great for the team and for the city, and great for you, because no more you don't have to worry about covering a lottery team.
That was my fear, Kyle. I thought we were going to be covering a team that won 20 games every year, which would have been very depressing. But no, it was cool to see Russell like. Like, I've heard for years that Russell is this great guy, nice guy, and the people inside the Thunder organization swear by him.
Yeah.
They swear by him. And I think we kind of got a glimpse of who he really is in that press conference. He was more relaxed.
Yeah.
He smiled. He joked. He laughed. Like, it seemed like that was the guy that the people see behind the scenes, and he really wanted to show that to the fans who were all there. They were banging on the windows while he was trying to talk. It was
crazy.
Really, it was awesome.
Yeah,
but
that's cool.
No, I've covered Russell since his rookie year, and to his credit, he hasn't really changed. So it was, who would have thought that Kevin would be the one to leave and he would stay? So
yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I agree with you that it's easy in hindsight to be like, oh well, Kevin was the one who didn't want to stay and wasn't loyal, and Russell was going to stay the whole time. Well, we don't know that. Like, what if Kevin had re-signed, and maybe they just didn't want to play together? Maybe it's really that simple. Maybe they had grown sour of each other, and maybe, who knows, if Kevin had re-signed, maybe Russ would have left. But we'll never know. But what we do know now is the statues will be built of Russell, and his jersey's going up first in the rafters. That's one thing we can confirm.
Yep, that's true. Okay, I want to let's go to Slater. We'll call him. But first, I saw you got some pretty nice Coop Ale Works swag this week.
Yeah, Sean brought that over in his free time, him and Victoria, and brought over some samples of the Coop Ale Works. And I guess yesterday was National IPA Day, Kyle.
I saw that.
So whenever I got home from the Westbrook, I was just exhausted. I had been going since like 9 in the morning till 11 at night. I had a Coop F5. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a big IPA guy, but it was pretty good. So yeah, I enjoyed National IPA Day.
I'm glad you're coming over to my side on the IPA, and you got some t-shirts, and that's good stuff. It's cool.
I'm a company man.
Okay, let's go to the Slider interview. Sweet.
All right, I want to welcome in Anthony Slater, the former beat writer for the Thunder for the Oklahoman, current San Jose Mercury News Warriors beat writer, and former Oklahoma State alum. You got a long list of accomplishments, Anthony. Thanks for joining us.
Not that long, Carson. Right? Both of our careers, all of our careers. Kyle's now, CBS golf blogger. Carson, you just had a new deal, right?
Yeah, I signed a new contract. I'm staying home, Anthony. I'm not joining the enemy.
Wow. Just shots fired out of the gate.
All right, Ennis Canner. Calm down over there.
I'm not going to call you Anthony Trader. Don't worry.
Wow.
AC Trader.
AC Trader.
I had an older lady yesterday at Westbrook's press conference. I was walking around. She started to say, Anthony Trader. That's Anthony Trader.
Oh, my
right
gosh.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. It's been funny. The reactions have been funny.
Yeah, it's been. How many players or like people involved with the Thunder have you heard from and kind of reached out to you, wishing you good luck and everything?
A few, it's like yesterday kind of provided a weird atmosphere, whatever, a weird situation where I announced and I figured I'm leaving. I'm not going to do anything until in the next 2 days, and then suddenly a Westbrook press conference gets like dropped right there. So I was able to see a ton of people. That was actually pretty good to see. Yesterday, they did wish me good luck. Most of them are just kind of, they're joking with me and telling me. Because, it is funny. Even when the Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group, right when they initially started coming after me, I was like, oh, this would be funny. Like, my first reaction would be, man, when I put this out there, because it's not just a normal, hey, a beat writer went somewhere. It's
right.
Like, it just had that Kevin Durant backdrop to it where Darren Ravel's going to tweet it out and, Deadspin type thing. It's just so I knew the reaction would be funny and it would just kind of have that twist to it, but it's been good. It's been cool. A lot of snake emojis right now in my mentions. So.
Yeah, you even you asked Westbrook a question. I thought you got the best reaction of the day when you asked if it stung when Kevin joined the Warriors, and he gave you that great reaction. I thought he was going to come back at you right then, Anthony. Did that thought cross your mind?
Yeah, for sure, because I saw his brother Ray right before the press conference, and Ray's funny. He's a cool guy. He's kind of like opposite of Russ as far as personality-wise. He's walking around the arena. He wants to talk to everybody. He always is coming up asking me about stats, like, hey, can I see the stat sheet, that type of stuff. So we've kind of developed a decent relationship. And he came up to me. He's like, dude, bro, are you serious? Are you serious? He was like so like mad at me. I was like, oh, Russ might say something. But as I was telling everyone, I was like, I don't average 14 a game. Like, Russ won't care. Like, that's Russ's one. If I could, help the team on the court, he would care if I'm leaving. He could care less. Anything that isn't helping him get wins, it doesn't matter.
But I saw that some people, I forgot who, it might have been Zach Lowe, were calling this Windhorstein. And I think what they meant by that was Brian Windhorst started out with LeBron in Cleveland, went to Miami, went back to Cleveland. It's not really like that for you, right? Because you have more of a tie to California, and that's sort of home for you.
Yeah, I guess it's like a converse situation than Brian. But you know what? You know who's had an amazing career? Brian Windhorst.
Yeah.
I love Brian Windhorst. I mean, he's a good guy. Like, it's going to come with it. You guys know, like, the more, you do stuff, the more you're out there writing and doing different things. Like, there's going to be backlash. Look at any athletes mentioned. Look at when LeBron James tweets anything.
Gosh.
Literally, it can be, it can be like, hey, good luck to my friend Chris Paul tonight. And then it's just like flooded of mentions that are just like ruthless. So, it's whatever. I never take any of that stuff too serious.
Yeah, and you wrote kind of a going away piece. I would encourage everyone to go read that on the Oklahoman.
Cause that's great.
Now you're a 45-minute drive away from your folks. You've been gone since you left for college, correct?
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Like, I'm excited to go home. I know my parents are excited. My brother, he coaches baseball at University of Pacific, which is about an hour away from Oakland. Like, it'll be cool for sure, and the Bay Area is an awesome place. But part of me, maybe I shouldn't admit that, because, the going home was kind of pumped as part of the reason I'm going. But I was, like, kind of looking forward to my next city maybe being somewhere I hadn't lived, like D.C. or Miami or some other places. But, you know, the draw of the Warriors and the Kevin Durant connection and this job opportunity is just a little bit too much to pass up.
Yeah, I want to talk about your sort of OSU career here in a second, but I do want to mention the Warriors first, because I think that, I mean, in all seriousness, like this is pretty a pretty cool opportunity to cover, if not one of the best teams ever, at least the most interesting. What part of it do you think you're most looking forward to?
I mean, like the fact that, you know, like the NBA schedule, when you travel it, like I did the last 3 years, like it can really bog down. You know, you're sitting there in Minnesota in mid-January. You were in Memphis the night before, and you're just like, and you still have like two more games to go on a road trip. And it's like these quiet arenas, and it's just nobody's really watching. Like, oh, there's like an NFL game on. Man, I'm half the time I'm like, hey, what's going on in the Niners game? I'm like surfing the internet. But like with this team, that every single game, every road game will be the biggest road game for that team that they're playing. Like Minnesota will be popping because the Warriors are in town. Memphis. I mean, Carson, you experienced it a little bit with, remember Steph Curry last year when he was in Oklahoma City, how like, you know, crazy it was in there.
It was an event.
Now you got Curry. Yeah. Now you got Curry, Durant. There's like the villain perspective of it. I'm just excited that I'm going to try to hit up all 82 games. That's kind of my goal right now, is to go to all 82 of that team next year. And just like, it'll just kind of be like invigorating, as I feel like, as a reporter, to just always be in like an important event, like Carson said.
What will you kind of remember most from your time covering the Thunder, Anthony?
Oh, man, a ton. You know, I put it in the that, you know, going away thing that you kind of mentioned, but like, remember that Memphis series? That was my first playoff series. Like, that was wild.
The whoop all that trick that chant.
Oh, I mean, well, not just the grindhouse, which is an incredible event, but just that whole series, everything that happened, the four overtime games, obviously the Mr. Unreliable headline, the Randolph punch, you know, just, and that was like, in the Donald Sterling tapes came out, I remember it was like the morning of game four, and then Adam Silver just randomly happened to be in Memphis. And, you know, just for that to be my first playoff series, I was like, whoa. Like, I thought I was like, it was going to be too much almost. but that kind of became the rarity. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. All the guys I covered, look, I covered two Hall of Famers in the – It's such a rare story. I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot. You know, everyone has. Like, this is like, if this is a, we lived through a 30 for 30 documentary. I mean, like, we, you know what I mean? This is a really rare sports story of this, you know, franchise that was dropped in this city that had never experienced it. And right away they were good. And they had these, like, not just like two Hall of Fame players, but two like super unique personalities. Like, there's no one like Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant and his story and what he did for the city is interesting. And everything that came with it, the Harden trade, you know, Perkins was kind of a classic figure. And then now Adams and Tanner, I mean, they may be – you talked about my favorite part of covering this team. Carson knows it as well as I do. I mean, Steven Adams and Enes Kanter are two of my favorite humans on the planet. And the fact that they were somehow, like, put together to become, like, these like, strange best friends, they should really have their own show.
Well, speaking of covering great teams, you were you covered the 2011 Oklahoma State team. I believe that was your first football team to cover. Is that right, at Oklahoma State?
I came in and covered 2010, and that was the first Black and Weedon year. Remember, I think they went like 10-3 or something. They played Arizona in the Alamo Bowl. Like, they were good. They had a couple. I remember they lost like Taylor Martinez at home on homecoming.
Yeah, he was like 28 for 31 that game or something.
Yeah, he just went off. He probably had more yards and TDs than like all his other career games combined in that game. Who else did they lose to that year?
They lost to OU,
Oklahoma.
OU. Oh yeah.
That's when Blackman. That was
a crazy game.
That's when Blackman was like dragging his leg around the field because he was hurt.
And maybe Texas too.
Yeah.
No, I think they only lost. I think they only lost two that year.
Maybe they
won in Austin that year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting old, gentlemen.
Bedlam game was crazy. You had the Justin. Remember Landry Jones threw the long TD to go up 9 or something late, and then Justin Gilbert ran back to kick.
Oh, I remember.
And then Landry Jones threw another TD.
Yeah, it was.
It was great.
Was wild. I guess what I wanted to ask you about that is I feel like. And I feel like a lot of people have enjoyed your ascension into being a really good writer about the Thunder and everything. What do you think is like the most important thing you've learned over these last 5 years, going from covering a really good college football team, but still a college football team, to being in the national spotlight and being on NBA TV and all this different stuff with the Thunder, and then in the future with the Warriors?
It's just so day to day. Like, I don't feel like it's like there's some ascension. You know what I mean? It's just, it was just like I was doing my work at Oklahoma State, which I love. I mean, to me, like the biggest like whoa moment was OSU, when I was suddenly in, like, I'd never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And then it was like I'm covering these Big 12 events, and like, I mean, I'm from like Northern California. I went to Sonoma State my first 2 years. Like, they don't even have a football team. Like, they got D2 baseball that's pretty good, and like, you know, 150 people go to those games. So, you know, just getting plopped in that Big 12 environment, and not just like you're just watching Big 12 games, but like I said, like I just randomly hit like the golden era, and I had no idea. Like, I got there, I didn't know Brandon Weeden or Justin Blackman was. I didn't come because, hey, I think the football team might be good this year. They just happened to just like hit jackpot right when I was there. So that was the biggest like whoa thing. But ever since then, it's just been like, it's just day to day to day to day. I guess maybe my first year as on an NBA beat, like the Thunder gives really good seats to its media, which I'll miss for sure. So like sitting courtside at NBA games, I remember early in my first year, we were joking about this on the, you know, I did kind of like a goodbye podcast the other day with our Thunder Buddies podcast, and Darnell was kind of giving me some crap because he remembered one of my first games. Miles Plumlee was like facing Perk, and like you just kind of get wowed by like how I, like, you know, people see NBA athletes and it's like these are some big time athletes for sure, like when you're watching on TV. But when you have that like courtside seat, like you really start to understand how good they are. Yeah. And Miles Plumlee had like a big time first quarter, and he's actually like weirdly athletic, and I was like looking at Darnell, I was like, this guy's a baller, this guy's so good. And Darnell's like, don't worry, big man, like, I know you think he's athletic, but, you know, keep watching all of these guys. And it's, so, I mean, that's just kind of something I remember. But I mean, other than that, it's just, I mean, you guys know it like I do, you just start doing stuff and it just kind of becomes natural. And, you know, I go on NBA TV, but it's like, you know, I'm just talking to dudes, just like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to have to talk to the Thunder about getting your seat. You had a much better seat than I did for games. But, but Anthony, you mentioned in your column going away, you know, you went to Sonoma State. You caught for the baseball team at OSU. But how did you even hear of OSU? Like, what in the world? How do you go from Sonoma State to Oklahoma State?
Google. It's this crazy thing. It's called Google. And I typed in, like, sports media programs. Something like that. I can't even remember what it was. Because I was like, man, I think it'd be cool to like write about sports. That was basically like my thought process. So I typed that in, and I remember I got into like Bradley, and then the two I was deciding between was Oklahoma State and Penn State. But Penn State had this, like, you had to get to the school, and then once you got to the school, you had to like prove yourself to get into their sports media program or something like that. And OSU just seemed so much like chiller to me. It was just like, yeah, come on. You want to write for the paper? Like, yeah, you can be a sports media major. It was cheaper. And it was just like different. It was just like, you could tell it was going to be way different from California, which I wanted. Not that Penn State wouldn't have been, but it just seemed a little bit more like uppity to me, where OSU was like, I don't know. It just kind of had a cool vibe when I was like looking at their website. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do that. And it ended up being perfect because the football team, not only was the football team really good, and, you know, suddenly they had an NBA team down the road, and everyone kind of knows the path I've taken from there. But if I went to Penn State, Sandusky happened like 12 months after I would have been
there. Yeah.
Honestly, maybe I'd be a news writer right now, you know?
Right.
Carson, that's the legacy that you left at the Ocala. Literally anyone can do this. Is that something you're proud of?
Except Kyle Porter.
Yeah, except me, apparently.
Kyle quit after like day two. But
they just like, you know, there's just so much freedom to like test yourself, and like as long as you were willing to do it, it wasn't just like, hey, this guy Carson's terrible, come on in and replace him. I love my time at OSU for sure.
No, it's amazing how if you just consistently show up, you're given opportunity at Oklahoma State with their sports media stuff, especially the Ocali. They were starting the sports media program like my last semester while I was in college, and they like just handed me a minor in it, even though I didn't take an extra class. So that was nice. But I know they're attracting kids from all over the country now with that sports media program.
Yeah, that's OSU, and like give credit to OSU. But that's also life too. Like you know, you guys have experienced it. Like just Kyle's a great example. Like he just started blogging. You know, he wasn't doing it for anyone really but himself. And just blog, just consistently do it, get yourself better, and like people notice consistency and hard work. So I mean. Not that this is some like motivational podcast, but
I agree with you though. Like that, I was actually going to say that I think that because people will, and I'm sure this happens to you guys as well, but people will email me and be like, "Hey, how do I do what you're doing or what you did or whatever?" And it's like just do it every day. Like there's not like a silver bullet or like a I don't know. I don't
can't really be like an occasional hobby.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have to like every day, like it's a job.
Yeah, every single day, and that's the most important thing. I wanted to ask you, Anthony, because you've covered some pretty, and you mentioned this earlier a little bit, but some pretty unique figures. Who's been your favorite athlete to write about? Maybe not even to interview or whatever, but just the one that you always had something to say, and just the most unique one to write words about.
You know. Not to go back to the same two guys, but I mean, like the Stats Bros really do have like incredible stories.
Yeah,
Ennis Kanter, I've probably written 5 or 6, you know, in depth things with him over the last couple of years. And, you know, he's only been at the Thunder for like 15 months, but like he's got an incredible path from like 14-year-old in Turkey that you know he's playing pro ball at 14 years old, like you know. Like crowds of 12,000 people, you know, he's playing with like 30-year-olds in the Euro League. And then he didn't think about trying to be 14, 15. And he was telling his dad, like, hey, I want to go. I want to go to the United States. And like, I like the U.S. seems cool. I want to play college ball over there. And he's like, yes, sir. You know, you're 15. Like we can get you there. And then he had these like managers of the Turkish team. They were like trying to like nix his, you know, him leaving. And at one point he was telling me about like some like 25-year-old teammate, like throwing a shoe at him because he heard he was leaving. He's just like some like little 15-year-old that wants to go to the United States. And then like that just followed him forever. I mean, I don't know how well you guys know his story, but, you know, this Turkish club, Fenerbahce, was like, you know, he's been in this like political wars since he was like, you know, 14 years old. And all he knows is like, just like, corrupt basketball management, and that's why he's like has become, you know, everyone knows what happened with him in Utah, but you know, Fenerbahce was working with the NCAA to keep him ineligible at Kentucky. You know, they were trying to like share transcripts and prove that they paid him, and this was just some like 17-year-old trying to play basketball. So into that, and then like everything that happened in Utah, his trade here, just how active he is in the Turkish community. Then suddenly he's like a Muslim dropped in Oklahoma City, which is interesting in itself in this current climate. And he's what I've loved about him is he'll always sit down with me because I did like the one big early story on him, and he just started to kind of like we got a good relationship because he knew I knew his story. And then like he'd always sit down with me and talk about whatever. There was a running joke between me, him, and the PR staff. He really wanted to like talk about Donald Trump with me. He just really wants to rip on Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
But the PR staff won't let him. So every time they're around, I'm like, "Hey, Ennis, what do you think about Donald, Ennis?" And he's always like, "Oh, Matt, can I, Matt? Please, please." Yeah, but he knows they don't want him to cause a distraction. But so I think getting to know Ennis, like that's what like people thought he was like really ripping on me the other day when he sent out that tweet, and like that was just. We got a pretty good like work professional working relationship in that sense. So he's been great. I wish a lot more athletes were like him, like understanding like the media, you know, player relationship, how it can work for both sides if you play it well.
Yeah.
So he's been good in that sense. But there's so many. I mean, look, Steven Adams is, Carson could attest. I mean, he's a, probably a, there's not a human in the world that has ever met Steven Adams not walked away like, that's an awesome dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could ask him the stupidest question, he would give you the best answer. Always.
And it's, yeah, and it's like, and it's not even just like the questions, it's how he is on the court, it's how he is in the locker room. Like, that dude is just like a stand-up guy. And he's so unique to the city, too, because like this Kiwi that just kind of got dropped here. So, I mean, those two are probably like the two of the most memorable. And then just watching Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on a daily basis, I mean, Carson can attest to that one as well.
Yeah, we're definitely been living in a 30 for 30, for sure. We'll get you out on this, Anthony. How much are you looking forward to a Warriors-Thunder series this coming playoffs?
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I'm hoping for a second round, not like a 1-8 first round, but like, you know, if the Thunder could really get to like a 5 seed and maybe, you know, beat whoever, the Clippers or the Jazz or somebody at the 4, like a second round buildup of that series would be, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine just Durant's first game back in Oklahoma City. But,
yeah.
The Thunder was good enough to like get in a series and maybe like take a game or two.
Oh my gosh!
In a series, man. Although you know what's sad, like there's so many like side branches to this whole thing. But man, I really wanted to see a run back of Warriors Thunder with Durant still on the Thunder season, because like that was turning into, I thought, was going to be like a, you know, 3-4-5 year rivalry.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Anthony, we appreciate you doing this and taking the time. I know that both Carson and I are really excited for your opportunity and have thought you've done a great job with everything with the Thunder. And, we wish you the best and hope Cali is a lot of fun.
Hey, now that I'm out of the state, I can be more like kind of a fan of my alma mater, right? Like that's allowed, right?
Yeah, you can even wear orange and black now.
Are you guys going to let me come on the podcast sometime during the year and give just do like hot takes about like Gundy's not getting it done? What's up with the running back situation?
We're always in favor of just the hottest takes you can provide.
Well, Kyle loves Steph Curry, so he's going to have you on to talk Warriors.
I know, I do. I love Steph Curry.
I'm just going to be like, yeah, you know, he's shooting it well, but are we sure Chris Carson's a college running back?
I can't wait.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk to you again later.
All right, for sure. I'll see you guys.
Thanks, dude. See ya.
Yeah.
Okay, that was great. I want to talk about a couple things, Carson, but first, let's hear from our sponsor this week. All right, listeners, have you heard the scoop about Coop? Oklahoma's signature craft brewer, Coop Ale Works, is now available at retailers in Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, and North Texas. And Cowboy fans in Kansas City, Missouri can grab a pack of Coop starting Labor Day weekend. Enjoy a fresh F5 IPA, my personal favorite, a native amber, elevator wheat, or horny toad blonde when you ask for Coop by name at your favorite store or bar. No matter where you roam, Coop pairs well with the Pokes. Okay, we're back at it.
Back at it? Back at it's caught on, by the way. Oh, she's tweeting that out now.
I know.
At practice.
I need to make t-shirts.
It's a way of life.
I know.
Back at it.
That was great. Slater is really good at his job, and I feel like it's sort of underappreciated how difficult his job is. I think that people don't.
It's a hard beat. It's a really hard beat. Thunder don't let you do a lot. You don't get to sit down with the guys as much as probably other teams.
Well, and just
it's a really hard job.
Just writing uniquely about 82 different games a year is just it's hard, you know. And I feel like he does a great job of it. So I'm fired up for him. I think he'll do great in San Francisco.
I remember when he told me the news. Like my first, you know, I thought my first instinct for him telling me he'd be joining the Warriors would be like, oh man. But my first instinct was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you get to go home, you get to cover this unbelievable Warriors team. I was nothing but happy for him. And then in hindsight, I was kind of like, oh man, that sucks. I won't get to hang out with Slater anymore.
Yeah.
But he's really good. And I remember meeting him when he was at OSU, when he was working for the Ocali, and you would link some of his stuff on your blog, and I would read it, and you would kind of read it and be like, whoa, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
Like, for a college kid, he's already very, like, very sharp as far as what he was writing, his critiques, and even just his game-to-game news stories. So I knew he had talent right away, and I was really happy when Mike Sherman from the Oklahoman kind of promoted him up to co-beat writer with Darnell Mayberry. I told Sherm, like, that's the best hire you could have made. Like, this guy's going to kill it. And he's killed it, and he's moving on to bigger and better things. So I'm nothing but happy for him, and it was cool to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll never forget the you may or may not remember this, but I had my own podcast like 4 years ago. When I first started the blog, I just thought it was like this thing that you're supposed to do, and I didn't really have a plan, and maybe we still don't have a plan, but we have sponsors, so that's good.
Were you using like a tin can and a string?
Yeah,
back
it was embarrassing. I'll never forget calling him or like having him on the podcast though, and neither of us, I think he would probably agree with this, like I didn't know what I was doing. I had just started this blog, and it's a free-for-all, and he was with the Ocali at the time and was just trying to figure stuff out. I think he was a little, not starstruck, but just like overwhelmed by the, cause that season was a big deal, and not just for him, but just for the state, for Oklahoma State. And, so it was just, it's funny to look back on that and then see where, you know, especially he's come, to this point. And yeah, I'm fired up for him. He told me if we're ever out there that he said, if you're ever out here playing Pebble Beach, hit me up. And I was like, well, I might be out there. I don't know if I'll be playing Pebble Beach or not. But that's a cool deal for him.
Yeah, he was at the Mike Gundy Media Day golf event at Carson Creek. And he and I were hitting balls next to each other on the range. And that's when he hadn't told me yet that he was leaving, but like I was talking about the job or something. He's like, well, I don't know, I might not be around. And I was like, whoa. So yeah. Like I found out while we were playing golf. That's... And who knows, I might be in the Bay Area next year for a playoff series. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
That would be cool.
1-4 Thunder Warriors, 1-5, whatever it may be. But just let Russell go to war. That's all I want to see.
That would be amazing. It is a bummer though. Mike Sherman leaves the Oklahoman. Slater's out. I mean, is it just going to be Barry Trammell just pumping out like 20 blog posts a day for the next couple years? Or
him and our boy Kyle Fredrickson.
Yeah,
Slater's roommate Kyle Fredrickson. So
yeah, that's a bummer. I hate it when this happens. But OKC Dave did his survey, and the Oklahoman got rated like the sixth best coverage of Oklahoma State athletics. And it's like, come on guys. Like they do a good job. Kyle Fredrickson does a good job. Barry Trammell does a good job. I don't know. I just feel like there's this sort of unfair bias against, the newspapers generally, but especially the Oklahoman. I feel like they do a great job with stuff.
Yeah. They cover OSU just as well as OU really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was good to have Anthony on, and we wish him nothing but the best.
For sure. Okay. Oklahoma State stuff. Gundy's still talking about the mullet. He said there's pressure for him to grow it out. Did you see this?
Yeah, at the caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I guess all the players love it, so he has this kind of pressure.
And he has a stylist. He said, "I don't know if I would have. I don't know if I would have used that terminology. Maybe."
What's funny to me is, okay, like before the season, if I just told you, okay, Mike Gundy's going to have a mullet, like you would think the approval rating on that would be very low, but it has a 100% approval rating. And I'm not just talking about OSU fans, OSU players. OU fans in my mentions think it's awesome. They're like, we can't even make fun of it. It's great.
Yeah.
So this is like the upset of the century for me, that a mullet in 2016 is like have 100% approval rating.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Did you see the AP top 100 thing that came out earlier this week?
I did. OU was 2, OSU was 43.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. Would you have said before it came out, knowing the criteria, would you have said Oklahoma State would be, and the criteria is you get 1 point for being ranked in a single week in the AP, and this is historically, and 1 point for being ranked number one, which Oklahoma State never has, and then 10 points for winning an AP national title. So basically all of Oklahoma State's points are just for weeks in which it has been ranked in the top 25. So would you have said that Oklahoma State would have been ranked higher or lower than 43 before this poll came out?
Oh, probably right below. I probably would have said around 50.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of where I would be thinking, because really they've just had a big run lately in the last, you know, since Gundy's taken over. And then it's easy to forget though, in the 80s, Pat Jones had it rolling. I mean, they were in the top five a few times. I think they got all the way up to like number two or three.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have put them at 43. I probably would have had them at about 50 to 53 range, but it's only going to go up from here, I would think, the way Gundy's got it going.
Yeah, because they're behind, like, Syracuse, Maryland, and Army. So it's not like they're, you know. It's hard, though. I mean, you can only accumulate a point a week, and it's tough to move up. But, yeah, Ohio State.
I was surprised Ohio State was one, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would have picked them. I would have picked them to be in the top 10 for sure. But
yeah, no doubt.
I probably would have had Michigan or USC. I probably would have had Notre Dame, actually, just historically speaking.
Yeah, I would have had Notre Dame or Bama, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it's a little bit of a surprise that OU was too.
A little bit. I mean, you knew they'd be top three or four. Right. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but, so that was fun. That's some good off-season fodder. Anything else in fall camp?
I'm getting a little too excited. I'm getting very excited about OSU's uniforms.
Yeah,
they're tweeting out like pictures of, you know, different numbers and stuff, like with mainly their recruit tweets where they have a full scale uniform.
Are you talking about the white uniforms with the black numbers?
Yes. Oh boy. Adam Lunt passed that along to me in a text.
Yeah,
and it was a little startling just how much better the white uniform looks with the black number. But I'm, you know, they released them in the spring and you and I had fun with it. It was cool to see Dez and Whedon and all them, but it didn't linger very long. And I kind of moved on, I guess. But now that we're getting close and I'm starting to see some uniform combinations, mm-hmm. I'm getting a little excited for football season. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I am too. There's been a lot of, I mean, the first week of fall camp is always just the most information, I guess. Like, you get the most information in the first week in terms of injuries, who people like, whatever. So I feel like this week has just been kind of an onslaught of news, and it's a little bit of a slog after that. But it's been fun to hear about, you know, Dylan Stoner, freshman wide receiver. It's been fun to hear about Gundy talked about Keandre Woodtie last night, about how far he is along as a freshman. And yeah, I'm with you. The uniforms, the new players, the new season. It's a fun time of year in terms of college football.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. Last thing, and then we'll go. I've actually got a golf date with my dad later today. But
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you playing Nike clubs? I hope not.
I actually have a Nike driver, so that's going to be an artifact here in a few months.
Yeah, that's a collector's item.
Did you see the Michigan Jumpman uniforms?
I did. I don't think, there's the dog again.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm as excited as you.
Really?
For the Michigan. Yeah. It's like, it's a better idea than practice. They're pretty plain, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice. I mean, I think Crying Jordan may have affected my brain on the Jumpman logo, because I just know they're going to put a Crying Jordan on that the second they lose a game. But, I mean, it just shows you, like, it obviously they're infinitely a trillion times better than the Adidas stuff they were wearing before. And it's cool they're going to be, like, the first – I think they're the first ones to wear Jordan brand, but –
yeah,
uniforms themselves are nice. I mean, Harbaugh already kind of revamped them enough to where they look more old school now.
Yeah, I think they're awesome. You're right about that. What's the best Crying Jordan you've ever seen, by the way?
The best one ever? God, I'd have to think about that.
I don't like the Crying Jordan meme, or as Bryce Harper would call it, meme.
one of my favorites was when Cam Newton handed the ball to the kid in the Cam Newton jersey. The kid in the Cam Newton jersey was a Crying Jordan, and so was Cam. And just the little kid, I thought, was just it brought me to tears. It was so good.
I think my favorite one ever, and I have a sort of a skewed view of it, but during the Players Championship this year, somebody made a nine on the island hole on the green. And and somebody just Crying Jordan the green, like it was just a Crying Jordan with a flag in the middle of it.
Oh, that's same too with Jordan Spieth on the 12th at the Masters. They made the entire hole layout like a cartoon Crying Jordan.
Yeah, yeah,
that was pretty good too. That one's hard to top.
It's great. Okay,
but it was a good week for me. Russell Westbrook staying. I don't have to cover a lottery team.
Yeah.
So I was there for the press conference with Anthony. It was kind of surreal. It was like a dream scenario for Thunder fans. So it was a good week, and we'll be back at it next week as the season gets closer.
Absolutely. We will talk to you then, Carson.
All right, bud.
Okay.